Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we continue together our Lenten journey. This journey of faith that we take as we work the soil of our lives and allow God to plant His love deep inside each of us. I'm glad that all of you are here this morning. I'm glad that there are some of you who are watching live as we stream this. But it is good for us to be together today. We have Sunday school bags in the back pew, all right? If it's a brown-colored bag, those are leftovers from last week. If it's a white-colored bag, it's the brand-new one from this week. And if you have children, if you know children, if there are children around you, those Sunday school bags are a blessing. And that they give them a chance to read a story and do a craft and discover once again the depth of Jesus' love for each of them. So I hope that you will take one for the children in your lives. Drive-in communion will continue this Thursday morning, March 18th, from 10 until noon. If you're one of those who are watching live and have not been to the Lord's table in quite a while, please know that you are welcome to that table as I come out on Thursday mornings and bring communion to you when you drive into the church parking lot. Please call Lynn at the church office to schedule a time. They're every 15 minutes beginning at 10 o'clock, and I hope that many of you will be able to join us at the Lord's table then. Today I'm beginning First Communion classes for children from fourth grade on up who have yet to receive that First Communion instruction. We will meet between services today, next Sunday the 21st, and the Sunday following the 28th in between services for that instruction. And then First Communion itself will be celebrated on Monday, Thursday evening. Please contact Lynn again if you know that you have, there's a child that you know who will be part of this class. Just by way of a reminder, Holy Week services are coming soon, beginning Sunday, March 28th, where we celebrate Palm and Passion Sunday. We will also have services on Monday, Thursday, April 1st at 7 p.m. We will have services both at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening on Good Friday. And then our Easter celebrations will be held at 8:30 and 10:30 on Sunday, April 4th. Please plan to join us for as many of those Holy Week and Easter services as we end our Lenten journey and begin our Easter celebration. I'm glad to see many of you here in that, you know, you remembered to move your clocks and all the rest of that. I hope that you all have had enough coffee to make it through the sermon. I make no promises. We've gathered this morning to be in worship. We've gathered this morning to continue our season of Lent and to offer our prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to God. So let us join together in our gathering hymn, our gathering song. No, sorry. 8:30 service. Time out. Here we go. Please rise as we begin our worship. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us continue our Lenten confession. We confess, have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done. Purify me, then shall I be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins, turn away your face and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. We join together now in our gathering song, Savior of the World.
God so loved that he gave his son to lay down his life for the sake of us.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First lesson is from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpent from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person will look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air. The Spirit is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. And Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed, but those who do what is true come to the light, so that they may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of our Lord. May your Lenten journey be filled with God's grace and God's peace. Amen. Light and darkness, truth and fiction, death and life, the love for others or selfishness, lost, found, left out, cared for. These are just some of the things that we ponder during this season of Lent. As we gather and confess our sinfulness, as we take the time to work the soil in our faith life, we pray that God will plant his love deep into our lives so that it may grow and that we might bear fruit for the sake of the world around us. We spend this time in Lent because we do need to understand where we have been, where we are now, so that we can walk into God's future with hope. Today, in Ephesians, Paul is giving the church in Ephesus a glance of where they have been, so that they might come to grips with the glorious good news of where they are and where they get to go. But today in Ephesians, It starts with death. Ephesians, Ephesus was a Roman colony city populated by many former legionnaires who were now citizens. It was the home of the Temple of Artemis. There was all kinds of things going on. And Paul reminds the people in the church in Ephesus, he says to them, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived. That former life, the sinfulness in that former life had done no good for any of them. We're not all that different. We too are dead to the world in our selfishness and in our greed. It begins with us dead to God. But then Paul reminds them of this amazing news. He says to them, but God, who is rich in mercy, as if to tell the folks in Ephesus, here is our hope and salvation. It is God's mercy, God's undeserved kindness that is ours. No longer need we worry. Because Paul continues, and he says not only that God is rich in mercy, but then he says out of the great love with which he loved us. God's love is our source of life. God's love is extravagant. It is great. It is immeasurable. And then it is lavish on all of us. And Paul proves that by then continuing and saying, even when we were dead through our trespasses, our relationship with God is smashed and destroyed in our sinfulness. We are all too often someplace else, following someone else and not walking with the Lord. We can't earn that love. So God lavishes on all of us, even when we were dead in sin. Because though we were dead in sin, Paul continues and says that God has made us alive with Christ. When we came to that font, we died with Christ so that we can truly rise with Christ, so that we can enter into a new life, so that we can share that new life with all those around us. And then Paul puts an exclamation point on it when he continues and says, by grace you have been saved. This is the heart of Paul's message across every one of his letters in the New Testament. By grace you have been saved. Which means, first of all, that we are saved. We're saved from the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. We're saved from temptation. We're saved from all of those things that would work against us. But we're saved by the grace of God alone. Paul continues on in just a few sentences where he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. For Martin Luther, for the Reformers, for us as Lutherans, this is the evangelical heart of who we are. It began with Paul, it went to St. Augustine, it went from Augustine to Luther, and now it comes to us. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. Our response to this grace, this goodness, is a life of faith. We act as if God has changed our lives completely. And we share that change with the world around us. But Paul reminds us, we have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's not us. I cannot save myself, no matter how hard I try. If I could do that, then Jesus didn't have to die. If you could do that, then Jesus didn't have to die. We can't earn that grace. We can't pay for that grace. There's no way that you can win it. It's not like $7,000 a week for the rest of your life if you just sign up for the publisher's clearinghouse. All right? There's nothing that we can do. Because Paul continues and says, it is a gift from God. Our salvation is a pure, unadulterated gift from God. No strings, no qualifications. It's not a paycheck or a reward. It is a gift of love. Not the result of works so that no one may boast. So we should not be the ones who try to put ourselves forward as somehow or another earning a little bit more than someone else. Secretary at my church in Racine loved to say when she had done something well, "Well, that gets me closer to that wallpaper I get in my room in heaven." Why anyone would want wallpaper anywhere? I'm not certain. I've taken it down and I've put it up. But she loved wallpaper, right? And she was joking, obviously. But the idea, there is always someone who tries to say, "I've earned more," or "I get more," not realizing that the love of God is all we ever need. We act like the Pharisees that we meet in the New Testament, and their pride and their putting themselves forward is unwarranted, and it's useless, because we are saved. We are justified by God's grace through faith. That is the powerful good news that I get to share today and that we get to share in our lives. And so then from this powerful declaration of the good news of God's love in Paul, we now get to move into the most famous verse in the entire Bible. Growing up, I remember watching the Minnesota Vikings on a Sunday afternoon with the family, right? And there on the TV, there was always someone. Usually it was a guy wearing a great big kinky curly wig in rainbow colors with a sign that just said John 3:16. Every game he was there. And not just at the Vikings games. All sorts of different sporting events. There was never any explanation of why he was there, but he was always there, John 3:16. Now, John 3:16 is famous because it stands for us as a brief summary of the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. Martin Luther called it the gospel in miniature. But when I read John 3:16, I always want to include verse 17, because to me, together, they are truly the good news at the heart of Jesus' life, the heart of our lives as God's people. But you see, if we begin looking at today's gospel, like the reading from Ephesus, it begins in death and in our need of salvation, because Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We heard in the book of Numbers today the story of how Moses saved many Israelites by lifting up that serpent figurine. Jesus will save not some, but all when he is lifted up on the cross. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life, it continues. You see, in John's gospel, the word believe, in Greek pisteuo, is actually shorthand in John for faith, right? Trusting in the promises of God, believing that God will keep those promises, and then acting. Faith is an action word. It's how we live, and we get to live and act on the goodness of God. Then we get to John 3:16 itself. For God so loved the world. Not just a little part of it, like Lutherans, or Germans, or Danes, or Norwegians, depending on which kind of a Lutheran church you're sitting in, right? God so loved the world, not just me and the people I like or the people who are like me. God loves all, even the people who scare me, even the people who don't like me, even the people I don't like, even the people I disagree with. God loves all the world, and God loves us all too much to let us remain in our foolishness. So that he gave his only son. There's the answer. This is the power of God's grace in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the answer to all the world's difficulties. Love, care, concern, gentleness, kindness, patience, hope. This is what Jesus brings and gives to us all. When Paul said that this is a gift, this grace, Jesus is that gift. He's the gift that Paul is talking about. Jesus is the gift that changes everything. so that all those who believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In Jesus' life, we have life. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have defeated death. And now we continue in a life connected to the eternal one. That is the promise. That is our reality. But then we move into verse 17 where it begins to sing even louder. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. You see, the power of Jesus is grace and love. It is not condemnation or terror. Too often, religion is used as a way to terrify people. Religion is used as a way to shackle people into doing some little thing that someone thinks must be done. The power of Jesus is grace and love that frees us to love others. Jesus truly is the love of God incarnate, made real right here. So God did not send the Son to condemn, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Our salvation, that salvation that is ours by grace through faith, our salvation comes through Jesus. His faith, his life, his suffering, death, and resurrection, that saves us completely. We don't have to work for it because Jesus has done it. So now our lives are to be lived for the sake of our neighbor. Whether that's someone that's sitting next to you here in church or someone that you haven't yet met, our lives are to be lived for the sake of neighbor as Jesus has shown us how to do it. This is the true evangelical heart of the gospel. Evangelical, which is the Greek word for good news. The good news that God's love wins always. The good news that Jesus is sufficient to save. The good news that it's not up to me. I cannot save myself. But by the grace of God, I can bring the love of God to places that I go so that others may know and see and believe and have faith in that love of God for them as well. We get to live in the reality of God's great mercy for us all. And we get to share that truth with people at work or the store or on a committee or around the dinner table or at school, at the hospital or anywhere else that we go. God so loved the world so that we can bring that love to all the world around us. Today, we get to be energized by the good news of God's love. Today we are encouraged to discover an appropriate way to share the good news, whether in word or in deed, with someone. Today we are encouraged to follow Jesus into the world, shining with his borrowed light and bearing the love and forgiveness, the care and hope that we are given all the time. Today we get to be beloved children of God, because that's how much God loves us. And that's good news. Amen. Please rise as we join together confessing our faith in this amazing God of love using the words we find in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Please enjoy your day as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Praise to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our God and our King. To Him we will sing. In His great mercy He has given us life. Now we can be called the children of God. Great is the love that the Father has given us. He has delivered us. He has delivered us. Children of God, sing your song and rejoice for the love that He has given us all. Oh, children of God, by the blood of His Son, we have been redeemed and we can be called children of God. Children of God, great is the love that the Father has given us. He has delivered us.